Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
A Michigan couple decided to go to Florida during an icy winter, and they were going to stay at the same hotel where they spent their honeymoons 30 years ago. But because of their hectic schedules, they couldn't go on the same day, so the husband left on Thursday and the wife was going to fly down on Friday, down to Florida. So the husband went on Thursday, checked into his hotel, decided to send an email to his wife. However, he accidentally left out one letter in the email address, and without realizing his error, he sent it. Meanwhile, in Houston, a widow just returned from her husband's funeral, and he died of a heart attack recently, and the widow decided to check her emails, expecting messages from the relatives and her friends. After reading the first message, she screamed and fainted. And her son rushed into the room, found his mother on the floor, and saw the computer screen, which said, "To my loving wife, subject, I've arrived." I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now. And you're allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and been checked in. And I've seen that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. I'm looking forward to seeing you then. I hope your journey will be as uneventful as mine was. P.S. It's really hot down here. Okay, girl, well, I got you in a good mood. Keep smiling. All right, keep smiling. You'll be wondering why I'm doing this. I have a Facebook page and a website. FatherCedric.org, and I'm going to put some of you on there, best looking ones. And you just check it out. It's just Father Cedric. Just go to Father Cedric. You can view my TV programs there, and you can look at all kinds. I've got free things, bookstore, got all kinds of different things, and I have Facebook. So, you know, in this day and age, we have to be technologically advanced. We can't expect people to come to church. We've got to reach out to them. We've got to go out beyond the walls of the church. And that's what I'm doing with television. That's what I'm doing through the internet. That's what I'm doing with my books. And so, you know, as a Catholic priest, I want to reach out to you. You know, you're some of the best people in this area. You wouldn't be here on a Monday night. But I also want to reach out to those who don't come to church. And that's the genius. And you're going to help me to do that by buying my books and by supporting my ministry. So, I want to talk about passion. You know, my TV program, if you know it, it's on the Catholic TV station here in Detroit. You get it if you have cable, except for WOW. I understand it's not on WOW. But if you don't have cable, it's on Trinity Broadcasting Network, which is the national network, and everybody gets that. If you have TV, you get that. And it's on Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock and Catholic station on other times. But you may have seen that banner as you came in. It said, "Live with Passion." Everybody was raising their hands. I'm a passionist priest. And that means that I have a dedication. You know what the passion is. I have a dedication to the passion, to the suffering of Christ. But passion also has another definition. It means enthusiasm. It means energy. When you have passion, you have exuberance. You're a celebrative person. But passion is more than just having energy. I'm thinking about Christopher Columbus. Today is Columbus Day, so I thought I'd kind of talk about him for a minute here. We're not sure exactly what he did. I've read pro and con. Some said, you know, that he thought the world was round and everybody else thought it was flat, so he risked and ventured out. Others, historians say, no, he didn't know that. But the bottom line is that he was an adventurer, he was an explorer, and he risked. And so many people are afraid to risk nowadays. They're afraid to try new things. They're afraid to push the boundaries. And if you're afraid to do that, and if you don't risk, then you're really never going to realize your potential. And I really believe that God has invested us with His Spirit and anointed us with the Holy Spirit to certainly don't have it in a personal way, but to come to realize our potential and be the best that we can be and influence other people in a positive way. And if you're afraid to risk, and if you're afraid to take chances, and if you're afraid to try new things, then you're never really going to accomplish. You're just going to stay stuck in a little box all your life. I know that because that's where I was for many years until the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and started changing me, and I'll talk about that on Wednesday night. But I really want you to think about dreams and visions this week and becoming all that you can be. I think about, you know, we're in Ford country, GM country, Chrysler country. I think about innovators and creative people and people who try new things and build new cars and serve people. Some of you work for GM, Ford, Chrysler, and all these different car companies here in this area. And think about how, you know, our whole culture has changed because of this. And even now the engineers are working on new designs and trying to develop new things. See, that's passion. There's determination. There's creativity. There's being innovative, being ambitious, trying new things. And don't be afraid of failure. Be afraid of not trying. And I've discovered this in my own life. I was afraid when I wrote my first book that I wouldn't be able to do it. Now I've written 18. See, the devil always tries to get you to stop right even before you start. You know what his plan for your life is? Abortion. Maybe not a literal abortion, but he wants you to abort your dreams and your visions, your plans. But God's dream and vision is exactly the opposite. He wants you to create. He wants you to produce. He wants you to be fruitful and multiply. That's right from Genesis 1. Be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 2. So I want you to look at your life and realize that it's not too late now. That's what I'm going to talk about. The challenges make champions. The challenges of your life make you a champion, can make you a champion or a chump. It's up to you. You know, I was thinking about school. You know, we all go to school, of course, whether it be whatever level of education you graduated from, whether it be grade school or high school or college or graduate school. I noticed something about school. Every one of us are faced with problems. When you're going, say you're in third grade, you're faced with a certain level of problems there, and you work on those problems. And if you work through the problem, it actually promotes you to the next grade. So I like to say problems produces promotion. But for a lot of people, problems, you know, you finally get out of school, and you've worked through all these problems, you've gone to the next level, you keep going higher and higher. You've allowed those problems to lift you higher. What seems to happen to a lot of people, not to everybody, but to a lot of people, they get out of school and then the problems of life all of a sudden make them stop. But the people that achieve are the ones who get the problems and they work through the problems of life. And they allow those problems actually to promote you to the next level. So what I'm saying is that when you get problems in life, don't think that it's just you. Everybody gets it. But what separates the men from the boys, so to speak, is that the men allow the problems to lift them higher, where the boys get a problem and they stop. And I'm praying for you that you will live with passion, that your problems will promote you, that your problems, I look at, I think about golf. There's all kinds of problems out there. Out of bounds, sand traps, trees, water. Problems produce professionals that can play through these problems. Other people are swallowed up by the problems. So what I'm simply trying to say is, folks, you know, we all have trials, tribulations, challenges, but I want to impress upon you tonight, challenges make champions. They can, or they can make chumps. And I'm going to try to impress upon you, I want you to live with passion. That's the name of my TV program, Live with Passion. I want you to be passionate toward God. I want you to be passionate toward your relationships. And I want you to be passionate toward your potential. I want you to achieve, become. I have a saying that I really love. It's the foundation of my ministry. Who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. Did you get that? Who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. And life is all about becoming. It's all about changing. It's all about growing. It's all about realizing your potential. Now, you might be thinking, is he a priest or a motivational speaker? What's going on out there? I'm a priest, trust me. But I'm also a motivational speaker. There's nothing wrong with trying to motivate people to be better in your character, in your relationship with God, and in your potential. And I want you to realize and to be all that you can be. See, I've had touches from God, and God has spoken to me. And he says, Cedric, be your best. Don't just look at everybody else. Look at the ones who have achieved. Look at the ones who have done it. Look at the can-do people in life and follow them. We call them saints in our tradition. And there are people that have done amazing things. And on Judgment Day, we are going to stand shoulder to shoulder with those people. And I don't know about you, but I want to have a lot of good deeds with me. Now, the good deeds don't save you. We're saved by grace. I was talking about that this morning. But the good deeds praise God and they glorify God. And let's do that. Let's be all that we can be. Live with passion. So that's the introduction. I'll give you the sermon here in just a minute, but wanted to just tell you a little bit about my community. See, I've been a religious now for 29 years, and we're called Passionists. And this is my habit. We have a dedication to the passion of Christ, to his suffering, but also to the enthusiasm, to living life fully, celebrative, to being a person that realizes their potential, not just, you attain one level and I'm going to stay there and that's it. No. Keep going higher. Remember what I said, problems produce promotion. Just like in school, you never get out of school, you still got problems, but you can go higher. Don't let them stop you. So anyway, I profess my vows and to the passion. That's our first vow. Here it is. The passion of Jesus Christ. That's what that means. And then poverty, chastity, and obedience. So, all the money that comes into my ministry and everything, it doesn't go to me. It goes to my ministry. So I'm unlike many of those evangelicals on TV, and some of them are my friends. I like them and everything, but I'm not buying houses and cars with that money. I'm not trying to. I want to give it all to God. That's my call. I want to give it all to Jesus. So I profess my vows, and I have this habit. Let me tell you a little bit about this habit. My first one wore out. 29 years is a long time. My first one wore out. So this is like my second or third. But, the brothers used to make these. And now we've got a lack of brothers. Religious life is in decline. That's no revelation. That's just the way it is. So the brothers are lacking, and so we don't have anybody to make these anymore. So I said, where am I going to get this made? So somebody suggested in Houston, we have a wedding shop, where they make bridal gowns and those type things. I mean, who do you go to? I try that. So I went to the wedding shop. I said, hey, can you make one of these? And she said, yeah. So she made it. The only problem was when I put it on, I had a train behind me. I said, wait a minute here. What's going on? We got to take this hem up a little bit. It's still a little long in the back, but she pretty much did a pretty good job. So I just wanted to let you know we have priest brothers and sisters. And we have a retreat center right near you. You may not know it, on 96 in Telegraph. It's called St. Paul's Retreat Center. I've been there many times. In fact, as a seminarian, I was stationed there for a month at St. Gemma's Church, right next to a big monastery there, retreat center. Your women's retreat's coming up in 2 weeks. I was told it's full already. Your men's retreat has already happened. But, we'll have some brochures in the back, not tonight, but hopefully by the end of the mission when they bring them over. And you can always make a retreat. St. Paul's Retreat Center. I live in the one in Houston. But someday I may be stationed here in Detroit. But for the time being, when I'm young, I'm trying to stay in the south where it's nice and warm in the winter. Now, I come from Massachusetts. I know what your winters are like. So anyway, we have priests, brothers, and sisters. We were founded to proclaim God's love and the passion. And we were founded to what's called evangelize. You know about the new evangelization. It's renewing the people of God and then reaching out to those who aren't coming to church. That's the new evangelization. So that's what I'm invested in through television, through radio, through writing, through preaching. And so that's a little bit about us. We were founded in the 1700s in Italy. I could have chosen any community, but I chose the Passionist because Jesus died for me on the cross, and I love him, and I gave my life to him. And I want to proclaim to everybody his intense, passionate love for all of us. You've had some Passionists here before. Father Melvin, you've had Father Robert Jerger, you've had Father Connor, I believe it was, who came. So I'm in the line of the Passionists who have been before me here preaching missions. So just a quick little joke about our community. I heard about this one nun who was working hospice. She was dressed like this, one of our Passionist nuns. And she was on her way to work with the sick and the dying. And she was on the way to the hospital. She ran out of gas. And so she remembered she had just passed the gas station. She went back to the owner just a little distance and said, "Sir, do you have any gas?" "Sister, we've got plenty of gas, but we have no containers." So she remembered she had it. She went back to her trunk, she popped the trunk, and she had a bedpan in her trunk. So she takes it back, and they fill it full of gas, and then she took it back to the car, and she starts pouring it into the gas tank. Now two innocent bystanders just happened to be standing there. They noticed this nun in full habit pouring the contents of a bedpan into the car. And one turns to the other and says, "That car starts, I'll become a Catholic." Well, I'm in a good mood. I'm so glad to have you. You ready to live with passion?
Yes.
You ready to live with passion?
Yes.
Okay, I like that a lot better. Okay. Well, I welcome everybody. I'm going to preach for about 35 minutes, 40 minutes, no longer than that. We'll have a few more songs after that, then I'm going to let you go, hopefully by 8 o'clock. So, ready to sing our second song? Let's all stand and let's sing.
Please join in singing number 651, "Open My Eyes," number 651.
As it is written, "For your sake we are being slain all the day long. We are looked upon as sheep to be slaughtered. No, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that comes to us in Jesus Christ the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, have a seat. I love that because it talks about being more than a conqueror, more than a conqueror. You know, you ever seen the Nike swoosh? That word Nike is a Greek word. It means conqueror. So more than a conqueror in the Bible is the word hyper Nike. You ever see a hyper little kid? So when you're more than a conqueror, you're hyper Nike. And we're hoping that you're going to be more than a conqueror, not trials or distress or persecution or difficulties or your spouse's bad habits or the kids going crazy on you are going to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. See, more than a conqueror means that not only do you win, but you win big. It's like it would be the Detroit Tigers of happy memory. The Detroit Tigers of happy memory winning. Not just 1-0, 20-0. That would be hyper Nike. Or the Detroit Tigers, the Detroit Lions beating the team 70-0. See, that's hyper Nike. That's more than a conqueror. That's what Paul is telling us, that no matter what we face in life, whatever challenges we have, whatever difficulties or suffering, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. See, it's that love of God that raises us up to face our problems, to face our challenges, and be more than a conqueror. Oh, that's so good. Because you can do it. We all have problems. We all have stuff. We all have challenges. Remember what I said? A lot of people just allow them and make it stop at some level. But, you know, those people who are embracing the love of God and they realize God's power will go higher. Challenges make you champions. Problems promote you. You can go higher through the difficulties. Let's talk about that. I grew up in a little town called Feeding Hills, Massachusetts. It's part of Agawam. Agawam, if you thought Agawam was small, Feeding Hills is a part of Agawam, Massachusetts, Western Mass. Whenever I go to grade school, I'd see there in the town square, there was a statue of a woman. And the woman was born in Feeding Hills, Massachusetts. Her name was Ann Sullivan. Some of you know who she is, others of you don't. Ann Sullivan taught Helen Keller. Helen Keller wasn't blind and deaf at birth, but she became blind and deaf. Well, the interesting thing about Helen Keller, well, Ann Sullivan taught her hot language, and she had a breakthrough with water, pouring water on her hands. And talk about baptism, how baptism brings a whole new life to you. It was water that brought new life to Helen Keller. And language, breakthrough, she couldn't see, couldn't hear. Helen Keller wrote 12 books and many booklets, and if you've read any of it, it's very positive literature. And I like to say that I believe that Helen Keller, she allowed her challenges not to make her a chump or to make her be stuck. She rose above. Her challenges catapulted her to a higher level. If a blind and deaf person can do it, certainly you can do it. Think about my dad talking about vision. And blindness. You know, my dad was a healthy young guy, grew up in Massachusetts, and joined the military, the U.S. Navy, fought in the Second World War in the South Pacific. So here he is, young guy, 19 years old or so, on board an aircraft carrier, and they were working on some molten metal, and a piece of it flew out and hit him right in his left eye, wouldn't you know? And it blinded his left eye. The best surgeons tried to open it up, they couldn't do it. He, for the rest of his life, was blind in his left eye. Well, my dad inspired me a lot. I was his only son. I have two other sisters that are older than myself, but he inspired me because of his attitude. You see, my dad became a carpenter with one eye. Most people can't do it with two eyes, but he did it with one. And not only a carpenter, but you see this beautiful woodworking here in the candle stands and the amble. This is things that my dad did. Now, he didn't do this, these actual ones, but I've seen him do these in churches, just like this. And build houses and cabinets and all these different things. And I used to work with him as a carpenter as a young man. By the way, that's how I knew I had a call to priesthood. I was a lousy carpenter. I just was not good at that at all. Maybe Jesus was, but I certainly wasn't. But anyway, it was his attitude. You know, I never heard him complain. You know, I only have one eye. If I only had two eyes, boy, it'd be much better. I'd really be able to do this. But see, my dad had a challenge in life. Some people call it a handicap. We call it a disablement, whatever you want to call it. He had a challenge, but he allowed his challenge to lift him higher. He didn't let it keep him down. It promoted him. His problems promoted him, because that's the attitude that he had. That's the attitude that I want you to have. I remember going to the seminary, place that I studied, I told you about on Sunday. The place that I studied was the Catholic Theological Union at Chicago. It's a wonderful seminary. All different religious communities go there. It's one of the largest seminaries in the country. A lot of lay people are trained there. Great biblical scholars, studied in Israel, did all kinds of different things. Well, at the Catholic Theological Union, I remember one of my classmates became one of my best friends. He was from the Philippines, and he was from Manila. Well, you know, up here in Michigan, what the winters are like. It wasn't like the Philippines, I can tell you that. And you know, we had a lot of dark days, a lot of cloudy days. And my friend became very tired and very depressed and very moody. So he went to a doctor. This is my Filipino friend. He went to a doctor and he was diagnosed with, maybe you've heard of this, SAD. S-A-D. It's a seasonal affective disorder. And what the doctor prescribed was something interesting. He said, you know what? You're from the Philippines, you're used to sunshine, you're used to the warm weather, Chicago's got you down, you've got the Chicago blues. He said, get a light, turn it on, turn it up, and keep it on 24 hours a day. And you know what? He did that, and he got better. Less moody, less depressed, and more energy. You see, it depends what you focus on in life that determines where you're going to go. He was focusing on the gloom instead of focusing on the light. And remember what Jesus said, and we're going to sing this later, Christ be our light. That's going to be the song right after I preach. Because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he said, no follower of mine will ever be in darkness. So when we focus on Jesus, it's amazing. Even though there's darkness all around us, gloom and doom, people with bad attitudes, all these different things going on, swirling around us, when we stay fixed on Jesus, focused on Him, it's just like sad turns to glad. A new attitude. I can do it. I'm strong. All depends what you focus on. You know, I may look like I'm walking up here pretty good, but just to let you know, about a year ago, I had knee replacement surgery right here. A year ago, back in October, last October, I was devastated. Because I'm very athletic. I love golf. I love running. I love all sports. But I guess I wore my cartilage out through playing too much and running too much, and I hurt something in there. And I had to have a partial right knee replacement. A year ago, I was devastated because I couldn't even walk for a while last year. And especially right after the surgery, it took me a long time. And I had to rehab quite a bit to get to where I am now. It's been a year now. Just celebrated last week, the 1 year anniversary. It was October 8th. And I remember I would be riding in a car, and I'd be just driving down the road, and I'd look out there, and here's some young guy or young girl running down the road, and I'd look at them, and I would be like, oh, I can't do that anymore. And I would be just, the only word to use is devastated, and hurt, and upset that I couldn't do what I used to be able to do. I remember one time I was having the moanies, you know, the complainies, and thinking about all that, and I heard deep within me, sometimes, you know, you don't hear Cedric be a priest, you know, it's not like that. It's within, you know, we hear that still small voice. And what I heard was this, Cedric, instead of focusing on what you can't do, why don't you focus on what you can do? I said, yeah, why don't I? And when push comes to shove, I can do everything except run. I mean, you should see me at the health club on the elliptical. I go as fast as anybody else. It's non-impact. The bike, Stairmaster, treadmill, the weights, the swimming. I do that just about every day or every other day now. I have to tell you, the challenge that I have for my knee has lifted me higher. I'm in better shape now than I've ever been in, because I didn't allow it to make me sit on the couch eating donuts and getting fat. Rather, I made the choice to get better, not bitter. I have to tell you, you should see me without this. I'm pretty buff now. I'm not bragging, but I'll tell you what, I'm at that health club all the time, and I'm working hard. For you, I want to be in good shape, and for me, and for God, because aren't we the temples of God? So what I'm simply saying is, what you focus on is really important. And are you focusing on, you know, especially as you get older, you said, oh, I used to have such a good memory, and now it's like, well, focus on what you still got. You know, maybe you're not the best looking anymore, but you're still good looking. Maybe you can't run the fastest anymore, but you can still walk, most of you. So, you know, you focus on what you've got, not what you don't have. And God will use that. And then, allow your sufferings and allow your tribulations, allow your trials and challenges to lift you higher. That's simply what I'm saying. I just read a book by, you know, Robin Roberts's, you ever watch Good Morning America? She's that African-American anchor woman, Robin Roberts. 4 years ago, she got breast cancer. And she had chemotherapy and she had radiation. She came through it, but it damaged her bone marrow. And the bone marrow is very important. It produces all these different cells that our body needs. So she needed a bone marrow transplant. First of all, who do you find for something like that? She has a sister in New Orleans, Sally Ann. Even if you find the proper donor, they may not want to do it because it endangers their life, too. Make a long story short, she did donate to her. She had the bone marrow transplant. She almost died. But she, if you watch Good Morning America tomorrow, she'll be on it. She lived. She wrote a book, and it's called, I love the title, and this is why I bought the book, Everybody's Got Something. And I think that's so true. You may not have cancer. You may not have a partial knee replacement. You may not have what my dad had with his eye. But everybody's got something. Some people have a lot. Lots of different things. And so, what do you do with what you've got? She allowed it to help her to press on, to go higher, to have goals in her life. She wrote that book, and plus she's still the anchor woman all over the country every day. Millions of people know her. And she wrote in her book, Everybody's Got Something, she wrote this, being optimistic is like a muscle that gets stronger and stronger as you use it. So in other words, the more positive you are, the more positive you become. And then she said, you have to change the way you think in order to change the way you feel. And I really like that, because a lot of people just go by their feelings. They don't feel like it. They don't feel like writing a book. I don't feel like pressing on. I don't feel like doing this. Well, nobody feels like it. If you just allow your feelings to dictate, you're not ever going to do anything. You have to think your way. You have to make good decisions to be a passionate person. And then you overcome your feelings. You override your feelings. That are, most of the time, all your feelings want to do is just be comfortable. They don't want to do anything. They just want to sit and watch TV all the time. If you do that, then you're not going anywhere. You'll never be promoted. But when you face problems and know it's difficult, you just stand up to these things. Because you're more than a conqueror through God's love. I think about, you know, I was watching ABC, another ABC story. I was watching ABC, one of the programs out at night. I think it might even be on tonight, so thank you for coming here. But it's called Dancing with the Stars. You probably all, many of you watch it. But last year, they just started the new season, but last year, they had a contestant on there named Amy Purdy, if you watched it, Amy Purdy. And she's a very pretty woman, by the way. Her name is Purdy, but she's pretty. And she was a snowboarding champ. Well, she developed meningitis. Meningitis is a crippling disease. She lost her legs from, like, her knees down. And now she has prosthesis legs. She went from being a snowboarding champ to having no legs. They invited her to be on the show. So she had a decision to make. Do I want to go on this thing? And now everybody in the country is going to know that I don't have any legs. Or maybe I'll make a fool of myself and fall. Remember when I talked about risk? If you don't risk, you don't do anything. She decided to go on the show. And not only did she go on the show, she made it to the final program last year over all these able-bodied people. And she made it to the finals, and in the last dance, she got, the three judges gave her a 10, a 10, and a 9. And if you've seen the dance, I mean, she goes up on this, you know, these wires and everything, and she did this amazing dance. She got 89 points out of 90. She got beat. She finished second place. But to me, she didn't lose. She was a winner because she participated. She got in. She didn't let fear stop her. And see, her challenge catapulted her, literally catapulted her, to new heights, to new levels, because she allowed the Spirit of God to help her. And it's the same way in our life. We all have, maybe you don't have meningitis or blindness or all these other things or cancer, but everybody's got something. So don't let it cripple you and hold you down. Rather, face it. We are more than conquerors. Hyper Nike through Him who loves us. And that's just it. You know, we can't just do it out of determination. It's that love of God. It's that passion that brought Jesus to the cross. He died for you personally, and He died for you to have a life that is full, abundant, and rich. He said, I've come that you may have life, and life abundant. That's that Zoe life. That's the Greek word, Zoe life. That's what God's life is like. God is an abundant God who, as you can see, has realized His potential and what He has done. And we're made in His image. We're made for more. We're not made to be just little puny things stuck somewhere. We're made to realize our potential. And you have potential. Don't be thinking, well, maybe you've got a Father Saturn, but other people have it, I don't have it. Yes, you do. Dream dreams and see visions. I love what it says in Pentecost. Your old people will dream dreams. Your young, yes, you do. Dream dreams and see visions. I love what it says in Pentecost. Your old people will dream dreams. Your young people will see visions. And I always say that you're never too old to dream a dream. You're never too young to have a vision. Speaking of that, I get a book in the mail. It was probably a couple months ago. I get a book in the mail from a woman who was watching my program, Live with Passion. She says, Father Cedric, you inspired me to write this book. My first book that I ever wrote, it was called God Recycles Broken Dreams. Nice title for a book. God Recycles Broken Dreams. So she says, thank you for inspiring me. I wanted you to have it. She sends it to me and then she puts P.S. It's my first book and I'm 88 years old. I thought that was good too. Yeah, it's amazing. So what I'm simply saying, you're never too old and you're never too young. You got to push the boundaries. You got to risk. You got to dream dreams. Live with passion. Passion just isn't energy. It's facing your challenges. It's being creative. It's being determined. It's being ambitious. It's realizing that, you know what, you're made for more. You're made for more. And I'm talking about more of the professional things and realizing, you know, like Ford Company and building airplanes and things like that. That fantastic, what an age we live in. But I'm also talking about your spiritual life and about your moral life. Called to grow there too. And I'll talk about that as we go on. Moral life tomorrow night and spiritual life Wednesday night when I talk about the Holy Spirit. But now we're talking about passion and potential and living with passion. And I know you want to do that. And that's my prayer for you. I really want to help the people of God. Can you imagine the impact of all the people in here? We've got younger people, older people, and we've got a lot of people in here tonight. Can you imagine how you could leaven Canton or wherever you live by going out there and realizing your potential? See, I believe that we can change the world. We can. Not we, but Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we heard the reading on Sunday, I can do all things. This is Paul the Apostle who has changed the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's so good, that strength. I talked to you about that on Sunday, that power. I was about ready to give up. I didn't think I had to call the priesthood. God anointed me. Said, Cedric, come on. I didn't hear a voice, but I could feel the power. So there's power for you, and there's power for me. And even if you don't feel it, believe it. And as you believe, you open your heart up to more. Let me continue to talk a little bit more about different things. I wanted to tell you about another book that I read that so influenced my life. It was in the novitiate 30 years ago, before I professed my vows. You know, my novice master gave me this book. written by a man named Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl lived in a Nazi concentration camp. He was a Jewish psychologist, and he was helped by the Nazis in this camp. He saw life at its worst, at its most depraved, and he also saw people at their best. People were selfish and selfless. Have you ever heard of Maximilian Kolbe? I think you have, a Franciscan saint who died in a starvation bunker in the place of somebody else. That's like, what an attitude. In the midst of that concentration camp, here's this man giving his life for another man. Other people in concentration camps gave up. They said, this is too much for me. They ran into the electrified fence, or they allowed the guards to shoot him because they just wanted to die. They gave up meaning. They gave up hope. And so, what Viktor Frankl surmised, he said that the greatest of all freedoms is the ability to choose your attitude in any given set of circumstances. Did you hear that? I know you're not in a concentration camp. You're in your homes. You're in school. I'm in a religious community. So this ought to be easier for us than it was for them in the concentration camp. He said, the greatest of all freedoms is the ability to choose your own attitude in any given set of circumstances. That's right from his book. So it's not the circumstances that determine us. It's us that determine the circumstances. You have to get that. And if you don't get it, you're just going to be pushed around by life. You're going to let it throw you everywhere, but cut you everywhere but loose. And it's time to stand up and be the man and the woman of God that you were called to be. And step up to the plate. I used to be afraid, you know, I was in baseball, in Little League, and I used to be afraid to go to the plate because I would be afraid that I was going to strike out. And I'd be afraid to be out in the field because I was afraid that I was going to drop the ball. And I had the gift. I had the talent, but I was afraid. See, if you're a passionate person, you stand up to your fears. You live courageously. That's what I'm trying to do with my life. I'm just as scared as you are. I wasn't, you know, wasn't like when I was 2 years old, oh, I want to get up in front of people and speak. Panic attack me. It's scary for me. But I live courageously. I have determined in my own heart that I am going to face my fears, that I'm not going to just be in a little box the rest of my life, that I'm going to realize my potential. And I don't think I have any more potential than you do. I'm just being courageous. We've all got it. We're all made in the image of God. So anyway, I think Viktor Frankl, what he said was, so I don't know why I grew up so negative. You know, fear-based and afraid and thinking I can't do it. You know that there's two people in life that are absolutely 100% correct? You know who those two people are? Number one, people that say, I can do it. You know who the other person is that's 100% correct? The person that says, I can't do it. You got it. And it's so sad. And which one are you? So there you go. Well, anyway, I don't know what it was. You know, I grew up in a good family. Middle-class America, Massachusetts, had a good dad, had a good mom, two older sisters, had a good education. Why am I so negative? It's like it was my default setting in some ways. I remember one time, talk about complaints. They had an advertisement. They had a contest in our local newspaper, Springfield newspaper, Springfield, Mass. I don't want to go too long here. Springfield, Massachusetts newspaper. And they had a contest called, get this, Write a Gripe. Like write a complaint. And they would pick one every once in a while, you know, of all the ones that are sent in. Guess who won the Write a Gripe contest? I was just a kid. I'm excelling in complaining. I had to be a grumpy young man or something. I don't know. You remember that movie, Grumpy Old Men? It's part two. So, you know what my gripe was? I hate dentists with bad breath. Sorry for any dentists out there. That was it. And they showed a picture of a young man, and here's a dentist over him with halitosis going on. The kid's going like this. It was great, I won money and everything, but next week I had to go to the dentist. So. I think some of the negativity came from TV. If you watch TV, of course we do, you'll see like the news shows will have, they'll kind of, not romanticize, but they'll aggrandize the news, you know, like everybody's going to get Ebola. Now, for the first time today, I heard about, you know, Ebola fear. That's now a condition. People are, like, panicking that they're going to get Ebola. I don't think so, but the way they're making it sound, it's like, don't shake anybody's hand. So, you know, the news does that, and then there were these sitcoms that would come across as kind of negative. And, for example, when I grew up, there was, remember Norman Lear's Archie Bunker and All in the Family? Yeah, we all used to watch that. Most of us did anyway. We grew up with that. But Archie Bunker was the most bigoted, negative, prejudiced man that ever lived. He was crazy. And I was just in New York last week preaching that. That was dangerous, but anyway. He was very bigoted, but I liked him. I thought he was funny, because he was. He was just hilarious. Well, one time, this is a little irreverent. You ready for a little irreverent? I didn't make this up. Here it goes. Archie Bunker is being served tongue, animal tongue, by Gloria, by the family. They knew he wouldn't like it. You know, Archie just wants whatever he wants, when he wants it. They knew he wouldn't like it, so they try to distract him. You know, they're talking to him, and they put the tongue right in front of him. Finally, he looks down. He goes, "What's this?" And his daughter, Gloria, goes, "Daddy, it's tongue. Eat it. You'll like it." He looks at him and goes, "Tongue? I ain't eating nothing that comes out of no animal's mouth." He goes, "Edith, go get me an egg." So I think that's where some of the negativity comes from. So be careful what you're watching. The Bible says, guard your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. Guard your heart. You know, that voice, "I can't do it," it's coming from somewhere. It's not necessarily you. That negativity, that thing that I'm always going to be this way, maybe other people can do it, but I can't. Because I know that voice. I still hear it. But remember, Hyper Nike, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Say that. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Can we say it like a minute now? We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Okay, now we are getting there. So, we can face our challenges. You know, everybody has to deal with negativity, but even your negativity can catapult you higher. If you realize it and say, "Okay, wait a minute, everybody got to deal with this. I can deal with this too. I'm special. I'm different. I'm unique. I'm anointed. I can do this." And I realize that everybody's got something. Relationship problems, depression, physical problems that you've got to deal with, monetary problems. Everybody's got something. As I said, some people have a lot of something. Many different things. So I wanted to tell you about Houston a little bit, really quickly. I'll draw this to a close. I'm aware of the time, but Houston, you know, I lived down there in Houston for 14 years now. When I was a seminarian, I actually did some ministry at the retreat center, and one of the people on retreat was a NASA engineer, because we have mission control in Houston. So he invited me to go to mission control. Now, we've all seen it on TV, and it looks real big and everything, but the first thing I thought was, this is really small. You know, it looks big on TV, but it's just a little room. Not a little teeny room, but it's not as big as it looked. And, but it was very complex. You want to talk about can-do people. These people at NASA, I mean, they're going to the moon, sending spaceships up there to Mars, and to the edge of the universe, and the Hubble telescope, and all this different stuff. These are people who are living with passion, who are dreaming dreams and seeing visions. So, you remember what happened back in 1970? You know, we were sending men to the moon back then. And it was the third manned moon flight. It was called Apollo 13. Maybe you saw the movie back in 1995 with Ron Howard as the director. He popularized it. But Apollo 13, if you remember correctly, three men being sent to the moon, to walk on the moon, two of them. And here they are 200,000 miles away from the Earth, on the way to the moon. And some electrical wires that were exposed caught fire. And there was an explosion in the oxygen tank, and now the ship was crippled. It's losing power. It's losing electricity. It's getting cold. They're losing oxygen. And these men were about to die. And then they flashed to mission control, and you could see the flight engineer, and you could see a couple of NASA officials. And this is what the NASA officials said. This could be the worst disaster that NASA's ever faced. And then, I'll never forget this, the flight director, Gene Kranz, his reply. He said, "With all due respect, sir, I think this is our finest hour." You know, I've adopted that as my motto. And what I mean is, I'll tell you in just a second, but Apollo 13, as you know, they catapulted that thing through genius. They were running out of oxygen. They jerry-rigged some type of a carbon monoxide machine out of nothing to get it to work so that they could breathe. That shut down the electricity and catapulted the thing. Remember when I said your problems could catapult you? They catapulted around the back of the moon, back to Earth. The whole world was watching and clapped. And that thing came down in the South Pacific, and those men were safe. You see, it was NASA's finest hour. They took the biggest problem that was ever faced, one of the biggest problems ever faced by humanity, getting those men back from the moon with a crippled ship when they were just about dead, and getting them back safely. And I've adopted that as my motto because, you know what, there's always problems. There's always difficulties. Maybe it's not trying to get back from the moon, but I think about some of the sermons that I got to preach with some of the scriptures that I get. You know, it's easy when you get John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Well, I preach on that, but some of the ones that you get sometimes are really tough, and I go, how am I going to get up there in front of all these people and preach about that? And I'll hear this voice say, "This is going to be a disaster." You know, it's that negative voice. And then I'll hear, "Oh, Cedric, this is your finest hour." It's amazing if you stay positive what can happen. I think about TV and trying to get on TV. You want to talk about a problem, you want to talk about a barrier, you want to talk about a hardship. Here I am, a priest, with a vow of poverty, with no money, no producer, no outlets, no programs. And I've got this vision to reach out beyond the walls of the church. I've got this dream, I've got this vision, but I've got a huge problem. It's like, how am I going to do this? I haven't got any money, for one thing. Never mind any programs, producers, outlets to air them, even if I did. And here's what I discovered. You know what? When it comes to the impossible, God is in that business. But let me just say this. St. Francis of Assisi is quoted as saying this, whether or not he really did, but he said, if you do the possible, the impossible will become possible. See, you just do what you can do, and it's amazing how things start opening up. How levels start rising, how doors start opening. You see, you live with passion, you put one step in front of another, you can't see the future, all you can see is right here, and all you can do is what you can do. So I wrote books, I started to make contacts, the books produced money, I got permission to use the money to produce programs, stations started wanting my programs, and it's amazing what happened. See, remember the beginning of this talk, what I titled this talk? Challenges, yes, that was a challenge. Make champions. You're never going to know who you are until you...
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live with passion.